planner space is big, really big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is. You may think it's a long walk down the road to the chemist, but that's just peanuts compared to planner space. In this week's episode, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Planetverse is monitored by the Megadodo Publications, one of the great publishing corporations of Ursa Minor. We are bringing you Steve and Karina's 42nd Fit. And this is an homage to Douglas Adams. Welcome, Steve.
Hello.
We have decided to combine some bits and portions of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy with our themed 42, which is what you get when you multiply 6 and 9. And as Steve earlier pointed out to me, what was that, Steve, that you said?
Well, it's quite rather appropriate. It's 6 and 9, 6 rings and 9 rings, so normal, personal, or A5, whatever, and 9 rings for desk fax. Perfect.
That is the answer to the universe and life and everything, right? 6 rings and 9 rings. Because
this man has
42
a one-track mind.
Ah, yes. Today's episode, we thought long and hard on how to present this homage to Douglas Adams. And we've decided to make this about life, the universe, and everything as it relates to planners. And so our episode today is themed around organizing versus planning, what a planner is versus what a planner is not, and making sure that you are using your planner by purpose. So let's dive right into it, shall we, Steve?
Yes. Organizing versus planning. They sound similar. And if you went up and looked it in the thesaurus, you know, that book of words, they'd most probably be referenced to each other in a lot of ways. And quite a few people, I'm sure, would think of organizing as in, you know, sorting out your clutter around your house more than sort of planning.
Right.
Thing.
Massive difference, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they're sort of interchangeable, aren't they, in terms of, you know, from a planning perspective. So it's just a mix to certain people, I suspect, on how you go about various things. Now, organising could be, if you think about it, about organising your family in terms of, you know, their sort of planning requirements, or organising yourself to cope with all the various things that are going on during the day. I'm thinking of Carrie here with her...
with the 42 dragons, right?
The 42 dragons, yes.
You're right there. So there's organizing yourself to getting to a point where you feel like you've collected enough information or you have the moving bits that you need to get it down onto paper. And then there is the organization of the material that you have so that it's either contextualized by individual or by context or by whatever it is. And then on a whole other level, there's the actual planning of this organized material now, right? Because it's not just enough to lay it out on paper. Otherwise, it's just a list, isn't it? It's not just really planning.
You don't actually do anything with it once you've got it. You think, oh, yeah, that's nice. But what are you actually going to do with that information? That's the key thing for me in terms of actually then moving forward. You know, you've got to the start line. Now you've actually got to, you know, do whatever it is you're going to do and get to the finish line, as it were.
I find that planning sometimes is the motivation behind wanting to get organized. Mm. So, for example, someone will say, oh, we're having a get-together at our home next week. And you say, all right, well, what else have I got going on next week? Yep. And then you start to look and see all the other parts that need to be now be organized or delegated or completed or shifted over so that you can leave next week open. So planning, I think, is the impetus or the motivator to wanting to get content organized. And it works similarly in planners, I think, because if your brain is doing all this juggling, then that's not good. That's why we write it down.
I quite often wake up first thing in the morning and I think I've got about sort of half a dozen things to do. And I keep, you know, going into sort of minor panic mode thinking I'm never going to get all that done. And then it's not so bad once you start bringing it together and say, right, well, I can do that then. And then I'll do, sort out which order you're going to do them in. And then work out roughly how long it's going to take, and then it all sort of suddenly starts slotting into place that yes, you can get all those things done. It's just a case of putting your mind to it, sort of thing.
So pulling your ideas together, getting yourself organized, is the very basic step of being organized, correct?
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
So it's just this momentary thought of, oh, I've got to start making lists, or I need to put this down on paper because I've got too much going on.
Mm.
And so the first step, I think, would be just write everything free form. As it comes to you in your mind, write it down on a sheet of paper. And that now that's not organized. That's just merely getting the information that's bothering you, that's hanging out in ethereal forms in your brain, onto paper. And then what would you say the next step is from there?
It's actually sort of prioritizing things at that point then, isn't it? And deciding which order you're going to do things in, or do you need any additional information to then be able to carry out those various
tasks. So that's still part of organizing, though, people out there in the Plannerverse. Now you're beginning to organize your thoughts into either they're connected or they're logical steps, or if it's things that you need to do together outside the house or things that you need to do together inside the house. Are four or five of those items related to a simple project? And so on. So that's still organization, right? It's not plan. We haven't reached to planning levels yet.
No. I also wonder about the sort of the difference between this, you know, we spoke about short term and long term last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
And do you consider sort of the short term sort of planning, i.e. today and maybe into tomorrow, sort of more organizational sort of skills, whereas planning tends to be more sort of maybe long term, sort of, you know, going out beyond sort of the end of the week and into sort of the months and beyond?
I've come to the conclusion that it can be both, and here's my perspective on that. Even a 24-hour period can be considered planning, because the further out ahead you can think, the more successful you will be with your planning. Those that can plan out 2-3 months ahead will be a lot more successful at planning than those that just plan day to day or hour to hour. And it really is as a result of context. If I were to tell you, for example, and I know Steve's going to get a kick out of this, if I were to say to the Plannerverse that Steve slapped me, everybody would gasp and say, finally, someone's done it. But
give that man a medal.
Right? Give that man a medal. He's a hero. Damn it. But if I were to say that Steve slapped me and I stopped choking, now all of a sudden we have it in context and they're like, oh, you should have let her choke, right? You give us back that medal, Steve. You don't deserve it. So why is this important? It's because it's context. If you tell me that you've got to do planning for the next 24 hours, that's great, because I'd like to see a lot of incremental detail happening in your 24 hours so that you can get the maximum value of the kind of plans that you're setting up. If you just have one or two things that you're setting up, it's just organization. But if that one 24-hour period you're planning in context to the month ahead, then yes, it absolutely is planning.
I've got a great example of me actually doing this.
Slapping me? Oh, no.
No, what? No. For my visit to London the other week, I actually, because I only had, factually, 4 days or less than 4 days, three nights and a bit on each end sort of thing, I actually sort of planned in great detail to a certain extent what I was going to be doing, what I needed to do on each day, so each night, whichever you look at it. So the Thursday when I arrived,
right,
what I was going to do then, what I was going to do on the Friday, what I was going to do on Friday evening, what I was going to do on the Saturday in the morning, and then
right,
Saturday the rest and Saturday evening, and then how I was going to sort of plan sort of what times and things on the Sunday, the day I was leaving. You know, so I effectively worked back from my sort of flight time and all that.
So
sort of thing.
You split your days up into halves then, right?
Yes.
Mornings and evenings.
No, even more finely than that, I think, to a certain extent. So that sort of 4 day period, let's call it 4 days for simplicity, was planned in quite detail, so I knew where I was going to be at any sort of time, even allowing for time zone changes and what have you. But I actually did that little plan about 2 or 3 weeks beforehand because I needed to know so that I could sort of arrange to see different people and what have you, and get the most out of the visit, really, if nothing else, because although it sounds a long time, that soon gets eaten up by sort of travel at each end. And though
Right.
I'm only actually there for sort of 2 full days in between time, sort of thing. So it's a there is a sort of finite limit as to what you can do in those sort of 2 days. But ordinarily, I wouldn't normally plan that to that sort of detail that far ahead, sort of thing.
It's almost as if you planned for an entire week for a
Yeah.
4-day period, right? It
Yeah.
seems that way.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. I think this is a very good analogy for anyone who's getting ready to go to PlannerCon or any other conventions where you know you've got 2 or 3 days to
Yeah.
maximize the amount of time that you have. And the reason why, as I've written in many of my articles, is nature abhors a vacuum. If you don't plan, then something else will eat up your time. If you're not careful with what you plan up, you want to, if you, like for example, Steve had a few points and results that he wanted to achieve by having attended this meeting. If you don't plan as if you're going into very specific detail, then other things will fall into place and eat up your time. And so it's, in fact, would you say that it's possible that you spent almost as much time planning for a week or a month that you did planning those 4 days?
Oh yeah, easily. What not only not just sort of sitting at the desk, sort of working things out, looking at timetables and all that sort of stuff, but the time that I spent on gathering my list of things to take with me together, checking
That's
that
organizing, by the way. I'm just going to point them
that's
out as you're saying.
yeah. So the time that I spent doing that bit was, quite bizarre in a way. It didn't, I don't normally sort of do that too far in advance because I'm tending to use him most of the stuff, but I've at least got my list of things that I'm going to use take with me
Right, that's
sorted out
organizing
in
also, right?
in advance, and because I use this sort of pre-printed list of things that I use on for generally for sort of 3 or 4 night sort of away stays sort of thing. I actually sort of crossed out things that I wasn't going to take off that list, so they sort of got sort of I didn't want to start getting things together that I wasn't going to take with me, sort of thing.
And that's
And
organization as well.
yeah.
You're organizing your list before you're getting ready to use your list, because by organizing your list, you've actually made your time more valuable
That's right.
and
And
your
so the
space.
actual packing time, the actual time it took me to actually pack my, rucksack, whatever, was quite compacted down because I basically got everything to hand. I knew what was going to go in the thing.
You used your Cabin Zero, right?
Yeah. So that was, it just sort of worked perfectly in that sense
Would
because.
you say that ultimately, in this analogy that you gave, the plan was to attend the London meetup, simply put, and the organization of it was everything else that needs to be broken down so that you can achieve a successful meetup? What is it going to take for you to, and that by that sense, you also have to set up a metric to define what would account for a successful meetup. Is it meeting one person, 10 people? Is it making sure that everybody's at the right place at the right time? There's so many metrics that you can come up
Yeah,
with.
there's all sorts of things. Plus, me getting there on time was another
Yeah, and
critical thing.
understanding what day it is, making sure you're on the
Yeah,
right day at
but
the right time.
having done that sort of trip several times now, it sort of you pushes the sort of time boundaries quite a bit in some respects. And I did have one trip. I'm trying to think when it was. Most probably in 2015. We got to the airport, and they cancelled the plane. Great. What do we do now? Panic. They'd actually landed the plane at a different airport altogether because of weather, and we ended up getting bussed from one airport to another. And so I got there, but I was about 3 or 4 hours later than planned. So of course, my original plan went out the window, sort of thing, for that evening, but we just sort of carried on, and by sort of the following morning, we were
I
back
got
in
caught up
sync
with one
again.
foot, well, one foot off the merry-go-round once when I had to show up to an airport for tickets that said midnight, and it turned out it was for the following day midnight.
Oh, right, so not the other way
Right,
around.
so I had missed it, in other words, or the previous day, excuse me, I had missed it. I had missed the flight.
No.
But I wish they would, don't tell me, you have to put the right date and the right time. And
Yeah.
for those midnight flights, always, always make sure you call up ahead and say, what day do you want me to show up on? Am I showing up very late on Tuesday or very early on Wednesday? Which
Monday.
one is it?
Dire.
So all of this is still the organization is are the little building blocks that allow planning to happen, is how I would say it. And so planning then ultimately is defining a larger purpose or larger goal, and the organization is the little pieces and foundation blocks that you can move together or build together to be able to complete one of those elements that Steve's pointing to something. I don't know. I can't see. I can't read and talk at the
Should
same time, Steve.
we go on to the next bit of
Right. Let's go on to the
what a
next bit.
planner is and what it isn't?
Right. So, I would say a planner is definitely a tool and not how shall I say, a master of torture. So if you are waking up every morning going, why must you tell me what to do every day? You are using your planner incorrectly. Definitely a planner is a tool is what I would start with, Steve. What would you say?
Well, it should really be, as you say, it should be a tool. It should be flexible, in its nature. Whichever format of planner you use, it should be the right thing for the day, for the job, or whatever, in context, using that word again. And we were saying before we went on air or started recording the fact that we do wonder if, when people first get started, they're not quite sure what should be in their planner, what shouldn't be in their planner. Now, we're not saying you shouldn't put any of this in or you shouldn't put any of that in. What I my way of thinking is it should be a live thing in terms of it always has the correct things in for that day, for that week, or whatever. And so it should change as required. It's
So it's
not,
an
it's
organic,
never,
living, breathing
yeah, it's never
thing,
fixed.
right? And it's never complete, is it?
No,
It's at
no.
any given moment, it's shifting, it's morphing, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, because at any given point in your life, every second that you live is now in the past. So you're always running towards the next moment and the next moment. And so, as such, your planner must also reflect that. We have such a warped version of time. It's in fact the time-space continuum is the way that we should be looking at it. But unfortunately, we see it in a linear fashion and we see, well, there's 1 hour and then the next hour and the following. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that I've seen, especially for the people that start planning initially, is they don't know, like you said, what's supposed to go in it. And I think this brings us back to the very essence of conversation of how did FileFax get its name?
Exactly.
It really stood for a file of facts.
So my thoughts on this was, if you're sort of, maybe at some point in your week or day or wherever, you say, let's say at the start of the week, you bring together the information that you need in that week into your planner. At the end of that week, that information still relevant to the next week? If
Correct.
it's not, can it come out?
And can I just say that's one of the reasons why I love my Jillio so much, because of that damn back pocket. I can fit in all of the envelopes and paperwork and everything that goes into that week and know that I'm carrying it with me from location to location. Should I have a spare moment, I can take care of business, knock it off of my list, and not have to think, oh, well, I've left it at home on my desk, or, well, I can't find this bit of paper. In fact, that would be a nice challenge, Steve. Let's challenge our listening audience to prepare for the week prior with collecting all the information that they're going to need to make their to-do list successful, and not start looking for it an hour before you're going to start, because that's the surest way to fail, wouldn't you agree?
This sort of slimming things down, thing that I've done in the last sort of few months and so really has sort of hit home in a way that you can slim down the amount of information you're carrying around with you quite dramatically. There's no need to stop carrying stuff around with you, you know,
right.
But do you need to carry, I don't know, 15 blank address sheets when you only ever fill one in sort of every other week sort of thing?
You know, we were talking about this off air, and I made the comment to you. I said, well, sometimes I feel like I want to be this better person. My planner makes me want to be a better person. Mm. And if I have those 15 blank sheets of address sheets with me, then maybe I find myself in a cafe somewhere wanting to sit down and finally filling them out.
Mm.
And that's great, but you have to take into account the kind of day you're having. Are you planning on going to a cafe? Are you going to just work meetings? If yes, then go ahead and take those sheets. But if you're just going to be going to work and back and you know realistically you're not going to have time to do that, then don't bother carrying those sheets around with you.
Yeah, sure, if the meeting got cancelled, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we can't cover every eventuality here, obviously. But
the improbability drive hasn't been hit yet.
Yeah. You know, in general terms, I think if you thought a little bit more, you know, like it's like dedicating an organizer to a particular purpose, that, you know, for a particular hobby or a particular work project, you could dedicate an organizer just because it's of the same format, size, ring spacing or whatever, same page size that you're using, and then they become, you know, information then becomes interchangeable.
Right.
You can keep all the stuff together in that one organizer. We use the word organizer or planner or whatever as a generic thing here because it's not necessarily being used to plan per se. There might be sort of some planning elements going on within that project or whatever.
Right.
But I would imagine it's sort of as a satellite to your main planner that you dedicate to your
I'm glad that you mentioned that because there are two schools of thoughts, right? Some people call them organizers and some other calls them planners or agendas or day books or whatever. But ultimately, you're right, it is a generic term. And what you do inside that book determines the purpose of that book.
Mm.
And so I wanted to extend this image that I had, and I remember I shared this with my friend Judy Finneran. I had told her that my goal was to deconstruct the tabs that I had and create a separate planner for each one of my tabs. So I would have a separate planner for banking and money, a separate planner for exercise and food intake, a separate planner. And the goal was to have all of these life categories up on my shelf so that I could see them in different colors. And I would know that, for example, the green planner was related to money or and so on.
Yeah.
And I found that to be a good exercise in understanding, do I really need a whole planner for this or can it just be hidden inside a tab? I found out that my money planner, for example, was 4 or 5 pages only. I don't need to create an entire planner that carries 4 or 5 pages of just daily expenditures and expenses and trying to keep track of where business expenses are going, for example. I don't need to keep my monthly receipts with me all the time, carried with me, right? These are things that can be safely kept at home. Now, can they live in another planner? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we do that, right? Steve, you and I both use our planners to hold inserts and hold other things and...
I, you know, again, going back to this trip to London, I moved into the planner I was going to carry with me things like the map of London, the London Tube map, and various other bits of information that I noted down before I went, like opening hours and stuff like that. They came with me. When the trip was over, I transferred them back out again and put them back in my reference planner, as it were.
Right, because you don't need the map of London.
I don't need
when you're living in France, right? No. It doesn't make sense.
It's a nice thing to carry around, but I don't really need it here. You know, a tube map of London isn't really much use in rural France.
Right, and similarly, I would think I have this nice map of Frankfurt that I've laminated and keep in my A5, and I realize that every time I've gone to Frankfurt, I've ended up using a personal size or a travel size. So it doesn't make sense to have such a great, it looks nice, the format's large, but why can't I have a fold out You of
want a
that
fold out
map in
version of
a
it.
personal size. That would be
Yeah.
nice. And so, but this is how you learn the purpose of a planner, which was our third topic or theme for today, which was how do you know what its purpose is? Well, take a look at it. Is it something that lends itself to being portable? Is it something that lends itself to wanting to sit on a desk? You really have to get Platonic on this in terms of what Plato had said. Everything has to have a purpose and use it for the purpose that it was designed. Otherwise, you're abusing the item. He didn't say it quite like that. He said it in Greek, but you know what I mean.
It's all Greek to me. Yeah, they. I sort of like the idea of using sort of several binders. We use binder as, again, as a generic term for different things. But again, it depends on how often you're going to look inside them for various things. So you might have one other to your main planner, which could be divided with section dividers if you wanted to. But do you really need sort of, you know, divide it as much as you think you need to without actually sort of, you know, going too mad? Or depends on how well you sort of think that things will be, and sort of, you know, what sort of works for you, really. You know, you're the only one that can sort of decide that. We're just going to give you some ideas about doing it.
Ideally, it would be nice if you wanted to sit down and create a list of planners that you were thinking of using or owned and give them purpose.
Yeah.
And I do that too. I call that planner planning. you just sort of sit down and say, well, I've got four A5s, I've got five personals, and I've got two pockets or whatever it is that you've got. Take an inventory and then say, well, what are they designed for? What am I using them for? And if you're not using them, that's how I determine anyway how I'm going to keep or sell or trade a planner, is because if it's not serving its purpose and it's just sitting on the shelf, then it's got to be doing something else. It needs to serve someone else. It's not serving me. It's a tool. It really is a tool. Now, can that tool be nice and leather and have all the matte rings in the world that you want and 35 millimeter rings? Yes, of course it can, as well it should.
It goes back to my age-old thing that just because you have an organizer, you're not necessarily organized.
Correct. And I think that's what we find a lot of new people
need to
in
be
that boat.
The most expensive leather thing that's available.
Correct.
You can be as, or if not more so, organized, or you could be a better planner per se, with just you know, a few sheets of paper, for argument's sake.
Well, you know, I've seen people say that and say, I can get more organized on a sheet of paper or a notepad than you can with your planner, and I really disagree with that, and here's why. Because people that use post-it notes or notepads tend to tear out those sheets and chuck them away, and they have no reference to the context that they were using them.
No.
And it's only a day-to-day planning. There's never any foresight. There's never any thinking into the long term of what are you trying to achieve. You're going to be in the same place 5 years from now that you are today because you haven't given any thought to where you want to be.
My argument on that one is sort of using loose sheets of paper or sticky notes or whatever you want to use works fine if you only ever stay in one place at your desk. The minute you get sort of called to a meeting,
right,
or even in the same building, you know, and they say, right, bring all your notes with you. We're going to plan this big project. We want your input on this. And you've made all your notes on loose bits of paper. If they're just standard bits of paper, you can mostly just grab them and run.
Put them in a shoebox and carry your shoebox.
Do whatever
you
want with them. But if it's in an adjacent building and it happens to be raining as well,
right,
and it's windy, then there's a bigger chance that those bits of paper are going to get lost or out of order or whatever.
I agree.
The binder or planner or book or whatever it is tends to bring things together in the order that you wish to present them in or whatever.
The planner or binder, just like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Plannerverse, is the standard repository for all planner knowledge and wisdom. And as such, it should be treated as the standard repository for your life, for the things that you do. Steve is laughing. I should take a picture of him right now. I'm so glad to see him laughing. But it is. If you treat your individual planner like your own file of facts and you decide, well, what kind of facts do I need to have with me? Then that allows you to, step one, get into the organizing section of this process. And then step two allows you to see what can be planned from here. I heard somebody say they made a plan for 200 years, not a 5-year plan, but a 200-year plan. That's outstanding because that allows for the concept of leaving a legacy. Don't just think short term, what's happening today. Today, everybody can think of what's happening today. Very few people can think of what's happening in a week, in a month, in 6 months. Mm. And those are where the successes happen.
I'm going to finish off on my note of, there's no right and there's no wrong for what you should be putting in your organizer, binder, planner, whatever. It's up to you. You're in control of that. No one's going to tell you that, you know, you shouldn't be putting that in there.
That's right, Steve. No one has the right to tell you you can't keep your Hello Kitty stickers in your Filofax heritage.
No. Don't tell everyone.
Where can we find you, Steve?
Oh, hiding in the corner at filofaxy.com or travelersnotebooktimes.com.
You can find me on Instagram at Karina Tovmasyan or planerology.com and on Facebook at the Planerology Groups.